Do you want to play a game?
Okay.
Okay, the game, right, shut your eyes. You have to shut your eyes.
Okay.
Are they closed?
Yep.
Okay. No, they're not. Close them. Right. The game is guess what I'm eating, okay?
I'm just getting it out.
Okay, ready? Okay, here it goes. Ready? What am I eating?
Crisps.
Yeah, but specifically, what crisps?
What would Pringles.
Very good. What flavour?
Plain, ready salted.
Ah, close, very close. Sour cream and onion. Sour cream and onion.
I thought you'd go for the really plain, boring ones.
Okay. Lovely to chat to you again, Cress. And hey, we've got a really, really good episode coming up in this edition of Nulpois.
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome to Nulpois. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit distracted because...
Why are you distracted?
Just before we get into...
What are you distracted about?
Martin, why are you wearing a sheet over your head? Why are you pretending to be a ghost, Martin?
No, look, what it is... I've been redoing my house.
For God's sake.
As I've mentioned before. And I've just moved back into my study. And it's all... Sorry, I was just choking on the Pringles. Ugh. It's all been plastered and I've not got any curtains up and it's really echoey in here. So what I've done is I've popped a blanket on my head to try and help with the sound quality. But it is really hot under here.
It's just going to... I mean, I don't really think that's going to do that much difference either because it's a really thin sheet you've got. It's not like it's a big duvet. Normally when people do that, they do it with a big duvet. You couldn't find a duvet?
No. Anyway, you're listening to an award-nominated podcast.
Yes.
This is Nulpois.
Yes. Let's explain a little bit about that. Very excited. You know, you wouldn't know with these production values, quite frankly. But we've been nominated for an award, haven't we, Martin?
We have. And I'm still trying to get my head round it, really.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. And, you know, thank you very much for putting us in the nominations here.
Sorry,
we've been nominated... For a
seriously.
What are you? Don't worry about it. Just no one can see the blanket.
I can, but
underneath it.
Come on, get on with it.
We've been nominated for a British Podcast Award in the entertainment category. We're up against 9 other people in our category.
Shall I read them out?
All brilliant podcasts.
And there's us
as well.
Yeah, we like genuinely really big podcasts here, and then there's us and Martin with a towel on his head. For as Martin said, it's for entertainment, best entertainment podcast. So we've got British Scandal, who's got the likes of Alice Levine, who you might also know from My Dad Wrote a Porno. It's Decode, a podcast called Desert Island Dicks, which I'm very intrigued about. Ellis James and John Robbins, who are from Five Live. Feast is Feast with Big Zoo. Then it's us. Nulpois, Pressed, Shagged, Married, Annoyed, which I think I've heard of on the BBC as well, The Down Low, and You're Dead to Me, which is also a big one on the BBC as well.
Yeah, I loved reading of course you've got British Scandal made by BBC and somebody other productions, and you got this by such and such and like a cast of thousands, and there's Nulpois, Martin and Laura.
Martin and Laura, and that's us. Isn't it mental?
I mean,
we entered this. We didn't even mention really that we were entering it on the podcast because we kind of thought, well, we thought it was a good thing to enter just to do it and to like sort of see what would happen. I mean, we didn't go to there was like a sort of party where they announced the nominations. I mean, it wasn't a party.
Was there?
Yeah, there was, well, I would say party. I had a friend who went and it was literally, they had some drinks and then they just announced it. So it wasn't exactly in London. But I just didn't think there was much point of us going because I was like, well, it's only going to be like an hour and they're just, you know, I don't think we're going to get it. But then we did. And I forgot that they were doing this nominations thing. And I had a friend message me saying, you've been nominated. I was like, what? You sure? I was having to check the Twitter to make sure that they'd got the right thing. But yeah, so we're going to be going to this award ceremony. You better believe we're going to try and record some stuff while we're there. Because let's face it, we're not going to win anything,
no,
are we?
Of course
we?
We're not. But no, not a hope in hell.
There's no way we're going to win anything with the likes of those people against us. But we're going to have a bloody good time.
Oh, yes,
at
we
the
are.
Event.
We're going to have a great
recording
time.
Stuff. Yeah. We're going to have a good time. So yeah, watch out for that. And who knows? Keep an eye out anyway on the night. Who knows? Someone might make a mistake and give us an award. We'll see.
Yeah, feels unlikely, but it's certainly possible.
Yeah.
Right, Eurovision stuff then. We might as well talk about it, being a Eurovision Eurovision podcast.
Yeah.
And I had a friend today. I went out for drinks with a friend, and he was like, God, I hate the Eurovision. I hate the Eurovision, right?
Oh, dear.
And then proceeded to talk to me about the Eurovision for the next 2 hours.
Right,
and I thought by the end of it, you don't hate the Eurovision, do you? You just saying that. And anyway, I just thought I'd put that as an aside. We're here. We're talking about the Eurovision Song Contest and more news now on its location, where it's going to be in 2023.
Yes.
Last time on the podcast, we brought you really exciting news that it's looking very likely that the UK will be hosting. There was lots of talk about where it's going to host, what places are going to, what cities would put their names forward. But it's still kind of not settled that. And there's still a lot of voices saying it should be in Ukraine.
That's right, but the EBU has tried to put that to bed now. We're recording this on Thursday, and the EBU has released a statement to say, I think in relation to a bit of the backlash, I have to say, obviously, the backlash was from Ukraine, and it was from their Minister of Culture and some Ukrainian Eurovision winners, including Ruslana and a member of Kalish Orchestra that won for Ukraine this year as well. They were saying they wanted it to be renegotiated. They were saying they should, the EBU should basically look into it more. The EBU now has come back again saying they understand that disappointment, that it can't be staged in Ukraine, but they've basically just given more reasons as to their logic as why it couldn't be. I mean, I think we can kind of guess why that is. They said, you know, they did the security questionnaire, which looked into a number of risks that would impact the planning, including the severe risk of air raids and attacks. They also sought third-party expert security advice, which clearly stated that the countermeasures proposed to mitigate the threats planning the event in Ukraine were insufficient for an international public event. It's interesting. They said, we noted the comments made by the NATO Secretary General that the war in Ukraine could take several years. They also, what I particularly found interesting was with us, because we were kind of thinking, oh, why was Poland not an option, perhaps? But they were saying, with the possibility of hosting the contest in a border location close to a neighbouring country, the specifications of suggested venues and the lack of necessary surrounding infrastructure do not meet the requirements of the ESC, of the Eurovision Song Contest. So basically they're saying even a border closer to Poland, you know, it just wasn't being enough to guarantee safety. And at the end of the day, that's what they've got to look out for, isn't it? They've got to be looking out for people's safety. So they've said, withdrawing to its conclusions, they took note that no major international concert tours are visiting Ukraine throughout 2023. So they're kind of saying, it's not just us.
Mm. Yeah.
Other tours are doing the same.
Other people have noticed that there's a war on and decided not to host their major event there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not just us being like really rude or anything. So they've said, taking this also account, with regret, they've made this decision to move the event to another country. Now, one thing to note, so they've said all this, and they're basically, I think that's it now for Ukraine. I think as much as they can go back and be like, we want, and unless they really take drastic action here, I think that's kind of going to be it. It's not going to be in Ukraine next year. And in all honesty, I think as much as it would have been lovely, I just think that's fair enough. But what's interesting is that although in the previous statements, the EBU said they are now in talks with the BBC to see if it could be hosted in the UK, because the UK came second this year, they do not mention the BBC or the UK in this statement. However, some people jumping the gun there being like, oh, does that mean it's open again? Because they've said, we're happy to engage further with the Ukrainian broadcaster on all these issues. And they said that we'll continue discussions of finding a suitable location for next year's Eurovision Song Contest. They don't mention the UK in that bit. But some people say, oh, does this mean it's not necessarily going to be the UK? I think it's just this statement is just all about the Ukraine and now they're in talks. Yeah. And they've already mentioned that they're in talks with the UK and the BBC, I think. What do you think about that, Martin?
Yeah, I don't think that this statement therefore means that they're not talking to the BBC and anything's changed from the previous statement, because they said they were. What I find quite interesting is I can sense a small amount of frustration here from the EBU. Number one, they've had to put this statement out. Yeah. Which will have been frustrating for them, because they put the initial one out. There was all this backlash. Lots of people have been getting involved. Politicians have been getting involved and saying things. Yeah. And they felt the need to clarify, to release another statement, to clarify their position. There's annoyance as well, I think. And I think I picked out this sentence, which I kind of feel is aimed at some of these political leaders. Now, think about just in the UK, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, Nadine Dorries, the Culture Secretary, have both made comments that have suggested the UK shouldn't host it, and actually it should go to be hosted in Ukraine. The statement says this: "It is therefore critical that decisions made in relation to such a complex live television event are made by broadcasting professionals and do not become politicised," which is basically them saying, butt out Boris.
Yeah, basically. And I can understand why they would be annoyed about that, because he came on, didn't he? And he said, strangely enough, I think it was just after or during a trip he had made to Kyiv to talk to President Zelensky of Ukraine. So I wonder if that had any steer on why he said, he basically came out and said, I think it should be held in Ukraine. I think it's basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that it should be for Ukraine to host it. But which I think a lot of people took as him basically just being quite, political. Obviously, he's the Prime Minister of the UK, and saying, well, you know, he wants to remain friends with the people of Ukraine and with President Zelensky. So saying that in a kind of, in a way to appear sort of magnanimous almost, really. And it's clearly annoyed the EBU a little bit.
Yeah, you can tell that, I think, in their statement. With all that being said, then, it is still very much looking like it's on for the UK. But where should this be confirmed, and should it indeed be in the UK that's hosting the Eurovision Song Contest in 2023? Where, and you and I talked quite extensively about it in the last podcast, if you want to go back and have a little listen, Cress and I are kind of discussing the pros and cons of different places and where we think might host it. Of course, the bookies have immediately got involved.
Of course, you could bet on anything these days. And naturally, that also means the host city of Eurovision 2023, even when the country's not confirmed yet. And it's all UK cities. I will just run down, shall I give you sort of the top three, starting with number one? Let's do top five, and I'll go from five up to one.
I'll do the at number five.
It's Cardiff.
This is great fun. At number four,
Manchester.
This is surprising. At number three,
Birmingham.
Birmingham's above Manchester. At number two,
London.
And the number one city to host the UK Eurovision Song Contest is
Glasgow.
Surprising. Yeah. Really surprising. Yeah. Didn't see that coming.
I've got to ask, what have these bookies got based this information on? Glasgow, I could see being in sort of the top two, because I think it's got the sort of buzz about it at the moment. So I think, I can understand why that's there. Why the heck is London second? Do they not have any clue that there's just very little chance the BBC would want to host such a big event in London, purely because they're trying to remain not London-centric? They want to look like they're doing events outside of London, unless people think, that's all for show, and they'll end up doing it in London anyway. As you say, interesting, Birmingham has crept up and is above Manchester now. Why Manchester is fourth? I'm very confused at.
That's very surprising when you look at everything we were saying last time about the fact the BBC's got this huge presence there. It's got the international links, with the airport.
They want to host it.
Birmingham has not come out and said that, to my knowledge.
I would be surprised if it hadn't done that. And that's maybe why it's had the boost now, because maybe people will be thinking, well, it's hosted it before, so it's proven it could do it again. But I genuinely think that's a reason why they might not go for it. Can I just say, I swear a lot of people are going off the fact that the Eurovision movie has parts of it. I think I'm right in saying, aren't I? I mean, obviously it's filmed in Scotland. I think most of it is filmed. I can't remember if some of it is filmed in Glasgow and Edinburgh or which it is, but it is obviously set in Scotland. And what people are going off that.
Yeah, Edinburgh is the supposed yes. fictional host venue, isn't it? A host yes. city. So I don't know, maybe people thinking that. It's very difficult to tell where they're getting that idea from unless they've got, I don't know, they know somebody that we don't know yeah. and they're talking to them.
But that's what makes me surprised that London is so high up, though. I mean, listen... I've said the bet. I've said the forfeit. If it is London, I'll walk naked down the streets of London. Please don't let it be London.
No, for everyone's sake, please don't let it be London. Your thoughts on this, of course, always welcome. Time now for a bit of that, actually, with the correspondence. Thank you so much for getting in touch with Nullpoint. Always great to hear from you, whether you're emailing or you're tweeting or you're Instagrammering, whatever you're doing, however you're getting in contact with us. It's lovely to hear from you.
Yes, and thanks so much to everyone who saw on our social media. We posted, obviously, very excited that we've been nominated for this award. So thanks for everyone getting in touch and congratulating us on that. Also, thanks to Luke, who gave us an email, which you could do as well on nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Well, Luke says he's very excited about the UK potentially hosting next year and said it was understandable Ukraine would love to host and are upset about the EBU's decision, but thinks that, you know, they're being a little bit short-sighted, saying surely rebuilding their country is more important than hosting such a huge and expensive event. I have to agree with you there, Luke. Does say as well, very exciting and refreshing to see Sam Ryder and Spaceman do so well outside of Eurovision, which is true. Mm. He's done really well with that. He's on a UK tour as well.
Yeah, and I'm still hearing it, you know, I'm still hearing it on the radio. I'm still seeing him all over social media. He hasn't gone away. He hasn't disappeared into obscurity like many other UK entries have done in recent years.
Yes, exactly. He does also say, P.S. Martin, stop being so damn lazy and make a real sauce rather than just some sachet concoction. He's talking about the carbonara. That way you may actually know what really goes into a carbonara.
I don't know. I think you can give yourself too much information in life. Sometimes you just need to take what the man gives you.
For goodness sake. Yeah? Well, thank you very much for that, Luke. We do want to hear from you about your thoughts on where, if it does end up being in the UK, it would be hosted. Thank you to Naomi, who said, I'm biased being a Londoner. This was on our Instagram, but I'd say London because we have Wembley Arena or the O2, but I could see it going to Manchester as well. And did also give us a congrats on the award there. Thank you very much, Naomi. We've had loads of people. I think most people still are saying either Glasgow or Manchester on the Instagram, which is Null Poir Podcast, and the same on Twitter at Poir Null. Lots of people sort of touting. I haven't had many people suggesting either Cardiff or London, but what do we know? Clearly the bookies have got some idea about what's going on that we don't.
Yeah, we don't have a clue. We're completely clueless in this whole thing.
Well, we know that.
It's an award-nominated podcast. We're clueless. And can't get my head around that.
Got a towel on your head.
Yeah, I've got a towel on my head. I'm getting really hot, actually. Can I just say... It's really warm in here in this blanket den that I've built myself.
Right. Well, you've not really built it. You've just put a sheet on your head, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I have actually, I suppose.
I can't even see his face.
No.
It's just like a little head covered in a sheet, just wobbling as he nods.
Yep. That's it. Wibble wobble. Okay, well, I think we need to end this, don't we, really, before we go completely bonkers or any more bonkers than we already are.
For that, but yes.
Have you said how people can get in touch?
Yes, well, I'll say it again if you want, because clearly you've got a bit of cloth in your ears. nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com, nullpoirpodcast on Instagram, and @poirnull on Twitter.
That's the way to do it. Okay, thank you very much. Bit of a short one this time, but we wanted just to bring you up to date with everything we know. Hopefully we'll bring back
news.
Of course the exciting news of the award we won't be winning,
and we'll, Martin,
yes,
I have to say we're going to be seeing each other soon, aren't we, fairly soon for my birthday.
Is it your birthday as well? I mean, yeah, of course it's for your birthday. I knew that. I'll see you next weekend, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, looking forward to that. All right, well, good. There we go. Cress's birthday. apparently. Yeah. Right. Speak to you next time on the next edition of No Pois.
Oh, No Pois. Right, go on, take that off your head then, for goodness sakes.
Oh, yeah, okay, I am gonna... Hold on.
There we go.
Oh, I can breathe again! He's free! Woo!